Let us begin with prayer. We pause for prayer this morning. We pursue your guidance and wisdom, dear God. We acknowledge that we are imperfect and in need of your divine direction. Open our hearts and our minds to your word that we may receive the insights and revelations that you have for us today. May your spirit be our compass, leading us in the paths of righteousness. Help us discern your will and follow it faithfully. We trust in your unwavering guidance, and we ask for your presence to be palpable among us. In your precious name, amen. The verses being shared this morning have been sandwiched in between these two stories, where Jesus asks his disciples, he sends his disciples out to preach, to share about repentance and healing. And so the disciples are on their way to share of Jesus' love. And then comes the story I'm going to share. And then there is the story of the disciples coming back from their trips, from their missionary trips. Mark writes about Jesus giving purpose to all who believe. Purpose to all who believe. We also learn in this reading what happens to those who live lives of useless purpose. The particular verses in this book of Mark, they're the only verses that do not focus on Jesus. They focus on living a purposeful life. And we learn that John the Baptist's death occurs as he is a martyr. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus' death by a political figure. A lot that occurred here could be compared to the death of Jesus. Notice as we read how Herod has a selfish and prideful purpose to promote himself throughout the story. Recognize the warning for people to be aware of being filled with self-centered pride. There's always, and there always has been, a need for salvation in this world. Open your Bibles to Mark 6. We will be beginning at verse 14. Mark 6, verse 14. I'll read the story straight through. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, and that it is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he's Elijah. Still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias, I think that's how you say it, Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to do it. Because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, and yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. She went out and she said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried back into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. And the man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came back and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Much the same way that the disciples came and took Jesus' body and placed it in a tomb. When Herod is called a king in these verses, it is in jest, because as hard as Herod tried, he was never officially named the king. His wife never stopped pushing him and encouraging him and forcing him to do things that he may or may not have wanted to do, but she wanted him to be king. When the people saw Jesus, they truly thought it was Elijah or a prophet that was sent after Moses. And Herod, due to his guilty conscience, thought that Jesus may have been John the Baptist, who was raised from the dead and was coming to get him. Herod's wife certainly did not like John the Baptist. She did not like it that John was saying, "Your wedding is unlawful, and you should not have married your brother's wife." She held a defiant grudge against John. She wanted John put in jail, and that's what Herod did. He put him in jail. John did tell Herod that it was wrong to take his brother's wife. Would we have told him? The wannabe king with power and armies behind him, that he did the wrong thing? Would you have just been quiet? Would you just have whispered to your family and friends, "Look what they did, that was wrong"? Think about your own family and friends and coworkers. Whom do you admire for having the ability to stand up and do what was right? Are they obvious friends and family and coworkers? Obviously those that have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Is it obvious to you in the way they live their lives? Who do you surround yourself with? The situation that happened yesterday, as horrendous as it was, what if one person stood up before the whole incident and just said, "That's not the right thing to do. That's not how God would want this to play out"? You know what, buddy? Your life is valuable. Turn to God. What if somebody said to someone along the line, "Jesus loves you"? Don't do it. May have been a totally different situation. It would have been a totally different situation. At Herod's birthday party, there were many pagan rituals going on, the drinking and the sensual dancing and even more. His birthday bash was for himself, maybe, but it also included the official military commanders, and boy, did he want to impress them. An even darker side came out within Herod as his stepdaughter danced for him. "Whatever you ask, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom." I'm sure this young lady was thinking, "Ooh, what could I get? I can get jewelry. Maybe I can get my own house." But she went to her mother and asked her mother, "What should I ask for?" We learn how evil Herod's wife is. And she not only says that she wants John the Baptist killed, but she says she wants his head served on a platter now. There was no pausing. There was no time to think, no time to discuss. She wanted it now. What if someone stepped up and said, "Now, wait a minute. Let's pray. Let's think." Herod did not take time to think. He did not consult with others, nor did he seek out any spiritual guidance. He made a quick decision, and he ordered that John would be killed right then and there. And so John the Baptist was beheaded. So many selfish motives colliding at that moment. Men seeking guilty pleasures. Herod's daughter wanting to please the crowd and her mother. A wife who was evil and seeking to get what she wanted as she was climbing the social ladder. A man who wanted to be king, the same man fearful of being embarrassed in front of his friends. He simply could have said, "I'll talk to you about this later." It did not have to be done at that moment, but there was no pausing. All of this evil led to the death of John the Baptist. All of the characters I just mentioned were trying to get some pleasure for themselves, and they were trying to save face in front of others. I don't know if the shooter told anybody he was going to do this, thought that he was going to get fame and glory because he was going to do this, or knew that he was going to die because he was going to be shooting. His thoughts and his actions were very selfish. We think, we know that Herod was intrigued by John and all that he was sharing. He knew John was a holy man. He knew there was holiness in the world. He knew there was a God. He knew John was different. And he was fascinated in what John was sharing and how he was sharing. Herod grew more fearful of the crowds listening to John's messages. He's going to be more powerful than me. My people are starting to follow him. And he never wanted to cross his wife. I don't know what their household was like when he would cross his wife, right? What would he go home to? He wasn't going to have any of that. Herod did not want to look foolish in front of his military friends, his buddies. So he made a useless decision, a sad decision. Later in history, I read that Herod and his wife were eventually dismissed from the court, and they were called out as traitors, and their lives ended by them committing suicide. A useless life. They lacked purpose. Their lives were not filled with meaningful purpose. And they did not care or give proper attention to others. And they did not serve others. I keep referring to this incident. I apologize. It's not in my notes. It's in my head. That this man who was shooting had no feelings for the people that he might hit or injure in his actions. None whatsoever. Purposeless. Useless actions. Well, we can praise God that the disciples were given a useful purpose, and we are given useful purposes for our lives. And those disciples were asked to make a real and true difference in this world. And they picked up their cross, and they followed Jesus. And we can pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And we pray that all those people that saw the incident yesterday on TV or actually there are able to turn to God and pick up their cross and follow Jesus and act and react and speak as Jesus would. You see, following Jesus leads to resurrection and life. Following Jesus leads to comfort and peace. Each of us can think about someone we admire who resembles Jesus in their actions and in their words. Is there something missing from our lives that becomes a stumbling block in our faith walk? There are people in this world who just are approaching stumbling blocks and thinking negative and thinking revenge and useless things. We need to pray for them. Each of us needs to be accountable for our actions and our words. Are we spending time with God faithfully? There are so many ways to be in God's words in today's world. Read the Bible, watch a Christian TV show, listen to a radio station, Google a Bible study, find some way to learn more about God in your daily lives based on your personal needs. Call a friend. Ask for prayer. Spend time with God. You know, that shooter has a mom and a dad and maybe brothers and sisters who are going to be tormented for the rest of their lives because of a purposeless decision he made. Wow. Continue to pray that the hindrances stopping our growth in the Lord will be taken care of. Our Lord loves us. He's reaching out for us every day, and he cares for us. I read this prayer over and over last night as I was finishing the sermon. It's a prayer for removing hindrances. Gracious Lord, I thank you for being my strength and my shield. How I wish someone shared it with that gentleman last night. How I pray that someone is sharing it with the people that experienced this. Or the people that experienced a drug overdose in Kensington or getting shot in Chicago. How I pray that people are sharing over each other. Thank you, Lord, for being my strength and my shield. Today I bring before you all the hindrances and roadblocks that are preventing me from moving forward. We may not even know what those roadblocks are. Maybe it's too much worrying. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health issues. I bring it to you, Lord, all the hindrances and roadblocks that are preventing me from moving forward. I choose to put my trust in you, believing that you will enable me to rise above the challenge I face. I surrender my fears and weaknesses to you, knowing that your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name. There is power and unconditional love in God's grace. Prayer is not just saying words, it's faith in action. When we pray for consistency in our faith walk, we demonstrate our trust in God. His faithfulness and power transforms our lives. May our lives continue to be meaningful and filled with purpose, filled with meaningful purpose. May we give thanks to the Lord that there weren't more people injured or killed in the incident last night. May we give thanks to the Lord that Christians' eyes will be opened, that we need to share, that we need to help people with their struggles and their stumbling blocks so that they don't get to a point where they make bad and useless decisions. I'm so thankful that our Lord is reaching down to each of us, and I praise him that he is touching our hearts. I copied a prayer for everyone. I believe everyone has a copy. We're just going to read it slowly with a pause in between the sentences. And this will be the end of our sermon today. Let's read it together with a pause in between verses. Heavenly Father, in moments of frustration and weakness, I come before you seeking your empowering grace. Forgive me for my shortcomings and help me to let go of any feelings of discouragement or self-doubt. Grant me the strength to keep moving forward, even when I feel tempted to give up. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that I may be empowered to overcome every obstacle and temptation in my path. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on you and to trust in your unfailing love and faithfulness. Give me a renewed commitment to strive for excellence in all that I do, knowing that you, all things are possible. With you, all things are possible. May your grace be my strength, and may your presence guide me every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.